Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Saturday. Welcome into this brand new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Of course, you can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Chase Young Day here on the show, and this has been an episode that has been often requested. I've had a lot of people reach out and say, hey, can you do a Chase Young episode? Want to know if he'd fit with the Packers, do a deep dive. So here we are, and we are going to do that deep dive of Chase Young today and see if he would fit within Jeff Hafley's defense and if he can be that pass rusher that Green Bay so desperately needs in their front seven. So let's get into it in just a moment. Before we get there, a couple shout outs, brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Zachary K, Poor Scouser Tommy, and Jason Sullivan. Thank you guys so much for signing up to be brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast members. Also, I want to just remind you as well, for those of you that are watching this on YouTube, I just want to let you know, we do have a full audio channel as well, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And there are multiple other podcasts on that channel from some unbelievable Packers podcasters like Dusty Evely, Andrew Mertek, Kyle Fellows, Maggie Loney, Perry Goldstein. We can go on and on and on. Mark Eckel, Jason Perrone, Jacob Westendorf, Jacob Morley, Ross Uglum, all of those episodes that you see on the YouTube channel here are over on the audio side, and then there's additional ones as well. So if you aren't checking out the audio podcast, make sure to do that. Also, if you are in the audio podcast, also noteworthy that we have the YouTube channel as well, and you will get some members-only stuff, some Q&As, live content that is not on the audio channel. So just make sure you are checking out both. I probably don't say that enough, but just wanted to make mention of it nonetheless. Only piece of Packers news or notes today is that John Eric Sullivan, the potential GM candidate for the Jacksonville Jaguars, he did not get that job. He will be, as of now, staying with Green Bay. It's probably a win for Green Bay. Again, these are always very tough things to analyze from the outside looking in because we don't get to see what John Eric Sullivan does on a day-to-day basis, but he is well thought of within the organization. He had multiple interviews for GM opportunities. I'm sure he's going to get some in the future as well, but for now, he stays as a member of the Packers front office. And with that, let's get into Chase Young right away. And here's the thing. Very interesting player. And I honestly, if I'm being totally transparent here, didn't put a bunch of time, effort, energy, and thought initially into Chase Young. And then when Justice Mosqueda, when we were talking earlier this week, and said like he's still 25 years old right now, I did like a quadruple take. And I thought Justice was clearly mistaken. Like, yeah, he's not 25. There's no way. And yet here we are, he's 25 years old. He'll be 26 in April, but he's still very young and in the prime of his career. And that definitely changed sort of my perspective on him a bit. And then, of course, I had a lot of people reach out wanting me to do the deep dive on Chase Young. So here we are. Let's do it. Let's get into it. And let's go over all the pros, the cons, why Green Bay might do it, why they might not want to do it. We'll get through all of it today. It's noteworthy here that he is a true free agent, unrestricted. So there's no franchise tag here. There's no possible trade. It is just a pure, true, unrestricted free agent. And it is highly unlikely that the Saints, in their unbelievably terrible salary cap situation, are going to be able to re-sign him. So he is going to hit the open market and Green Bay will be able to potentially, bid for his services or, negotiate with him, I guess is probably the better way to say that. Here's what PFF thinks of him. 49th overall free agent on their top 100 list. They are expecting a two-year, $35 million deal, $17.5 million per year, with $20 million guaranteed. Spotrac is also at $17.5 million, but they think he's going to get a four-year, $70.2 million deal. So the difference is length of contract. Both contracts are $17.5 million per year. PFF thinks 2 years, $35 million. And Spotrac thinks 4 years, $70.2 million. So we're in the same range, the same vicinity, but it just is difference in years. Same $17.5 million per year, just how off or how long does that contract go for? That could be the differentiator there between, just how much Chase Young ultimately gets paid on this deal. It's going to be the length of the contract, probably not what he's making on a per year basis. All right, per PFF, played in 17 games this past season, did not start a single one. We'll talk about why in just a moment. Played 740 snaps, had a 66.4 PFF grade, 54.6 run defense, 47.1 tackling, 66.0 pass rush, and a 90.0 coverage grade in only 20 coverage snaps. He had 482 pass rush snaps. He had 66 pressures, 7 sacks, 12 hits, and 47 hurries. He had a 20.7 missed tackle percentage, which is very, very high, which means he missed a lot of tackles. But here's the big number. He has 140 pressures over his last two seasons combined, averaging 70 pressures a season over a two-year span. That is not an insignificant number of pressures. That is a lot of pressures. However, his grade, if you look at it in totality, in 2020, he had an 87.1, 2021, 75.1, 2022, 78.4, 2023, 74.7, 2024, 66.4. So basically has gone down almost every year and has gone from an 87.1 to a 66.4, and it continues to show at least some level of decline. So that is noteworthy. We'll talk about that more in just a moment as well. In overall sort of grades, again, a 66.4 is slightly above average. And really, like, this pass rush grade, 66.0, slightly above average. His tackling well below, his run defense well below, his coverage was great, but it was only 20 snaps, right? So he did not actually have this unbelievable season by any stretch of the imagination, but there were a lot of positives that were out there on tape. The other thing that I will make very noteworthy of here is that his first two seasons in the NFL, PFF had a very good run defense grade on him. And that's been another thing that's declined, and we'll go through that as well. But I wanted to, kind of go over that because, he is somebody that used to be able to play the run better, and it's just kind of fallen off for him, and he just isn't that type of player anymore. And which is a weird thing to say because he's in the prime of his career. It's not like he had this big fall off and isn't the player that he once was or anything like that. It just is. It is what it is. He's lost some of his skill set. It's been very weird and kind of hard to explain. All right, scouting report. As I mentioned, he turns 26 in April. 6'5", 264, fantastic athlete, although he did not do combine testing prior to his rookie season. He was expected to be the first, second, third overall pick. He went second overall in that 2020 NFL draft. All right, the positives for Chase Young. As I mentioned, 26 years old, prime of his career. This is, if you get him on a four-year deal, 26, 27, 28, 10, 29, like, you're getting him in arguably like the best seasons of his pro career. Like, that is an ideal situation. Extremely athletic. It shows up on tape. He fits the Packers mold at defensive end. He can win with power. He can win with speed. He's got enough size. He theoretically should be able to set the edge. What he does there is a little bit more of a debate and a little bit more up for interpretation, I guess I'll put it that way. But he does fit the mold of defensive end of what Green Bay generally likes at that position. As mentioned, a really good blend of speed and power. He can win with speed around the edge. He can win with power, and he mixes them well, can convert speed to power. And then also, once he sheds the block with power, he can accelerate with speed. So he's got a great mix there of what exactly he needs to be as a pass rusher in this league. He has really good hand fighting. So he's got aggressive hands. He will, there's a play against Atlanta. I think it was against Jake Matthews, where he gets the hands going, matches up, sheds the hands, gets around the corner, sacks Kirk Cousins. I posted this one on Twitter if you want to see it. Sacks Kirk Cousins, and then, forces the fumble on the play as well. So he's very active hands. I wouldn't say like he's a technician with his hands, and I wouldn't say he's got this huge like move set at his disposal. He's winning with raw talent, but he's not super deficient when it comes to, finding ways to win either. He's got a couple tricks up his sleeve, and he does find ways to, again, utilize his hands and kind of a couple moves within that to be able to get off of blocks, go shed that, and go make the play. The impact shows up more than, I should say, there's more impact than what the stat sheet shows. There's almost like a little bit of a, what Christian Watson does for the offense when he's, getting deep down the field and opening things up underneath, and it doesn't always show on the stat sheet. There's a little bit of that with Chase Young. Just kind of the, I don't want to say aura or presence, but like, teams are a little bit aware of him. And then you also have like, he gets in the backfield and causes a little bit of chaos. And even when he doesn't, get the sack, even when he doesn't maybe, ultimately get the quarterback down, whatever it might be, or get the hit, It just causes the quarterback to kind of take his eyes down for a moment, a quarterback to move off of his spot, and then somebody else might clean up the play from there. Or it just, again, makes the quarterback feel very uncomfortable. Like, his presence is felt in every single game. Like, you can feel Chase Young out there. And that's an important thing to have as a defender, If the offense and the quarterback specifically is kind of aware of where you are, that's what you want. You don't want him comfortable at any point in time. You always want him kind of taking that look. It's like, oh, is Chase Young coming? Again, he's not this upper echelon, top five, top 10 pass rusher in the NFL or anything like that. But there is a presence about him. And there is just something where, again, he has that it factor. And it does feel like teams are very cognizant of where he is. And again, he gets those pressures, causes a lot of chaos, and makes you just aware of him all throughout the game. Very impactful on twists and stunts. In fact, I didn't think they did enough of it in New Orleans. I think that's something you would see more in Green Bay, and I think he'd be extremely effective. And like, you could get some like really fun Edgerrin Cooper and Chase Young twists and stunts. You could get Rashawn Gary and Chase Young, which would be really fun. Devontae Wyatt and Chase Young. Like, you've got some really, really fun combos that you could get going there. Quay Walker and Chase Young. Like, there's some really, really fun twists and stunts that you could run up front, and I would be all for it. And I think Chase Young would be set up very well, whether he's the guy taking on the block or whether he's the guy coming and swinging around. A lot of things that you could do with Chase Young in that scenario. I think he'd be a very good fit for Jeff Hafley's defense. In fact, I think he's going to be better as he did play basically as a 4-3 true defensive end, but I think he fits very well within this scheme. Does a really nice job of collapsing the pocket. And what I mean by that is, you know, against the teams like, you know, Jalen Hurts or a mobile quarterback where you don't really want to come screaming around the edge and then get past the quarterback. Quarterback steps up and takes off and you allowed that big running game, you know, alley. What he does is he's very cognizant in those situations, making sure he doesn't get, you know, just around the bend and pushed into the backfield. He pushes the defense or the offensive tackle back into the quarterback and just collapses that pocket around the quarterback, which is exactly what you want to do against those mobile QBs. You don't want to make it so that there's any escape lanes, that there's any avenue where that quarterback can find a little alley and duck through it and get out and then make a big play. So he actually does a really great job of kind of maintaining his leverage and then bull rushing the player inside, collapsing that pocket and making it very difficult for the quarterback, whether it's a mobile quarterback or not. That's not something that you want to see as a quarterback. And specifically when it comes to mobile quarterbacks, just making sure it's collapsed and that he's not getting around the edges, something he does very, very well. Well, we made it 1 week in the books with no football whatsoever. And I don't know about you guys, but I made it in large part because it was a phenomenal week on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football. And it is such a great time of the year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what will your Prize Picks be this week? Here are mine. I'm going with James Harden for LA. I'm also going with Karl Anthony Towns in New York. I think he's going to have a massive week. Lastly, I'm going with Leon Draisaitl for Edmonton as hockey gets back in full swing this upcoming weekend. Just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. Let's see. He will chase players down from behind, does not give up on plays, which I think is noteworthy because it seems like sometimes people think there's like this hot cold thing. When he's out there, I see him rallying to the football. I see him continuing through plays, playing through the whistle. Like it's not as, you know, egregious as maybe some people think it is. Not a horrible run defender, but we'll talk about it in the negatives. He's not terrible at it. It's just, they don't really play him at it and he's not good at it. So yeah, again, we'll talk about that in the negatives, but it's not as horrible as, again, people might lend you to believe. But part of the reason it's not as horrible is because teams just don't trust him to actually do it either. So there's kind of like a double-edged sword there. Good contain on mobile quarterbacks. Again, can put his hand in the dirt or he can stand up. He has unbelievable awareness on all like the end-arounds, reverses, screens, bootlegs. He's on top of it. He is like, it feels like he's a 12-year vet. Like just knowing exactly what's coming before it happens. He stays honest. He does his 1/11th, exactly what he's supposed to do on the play. Doesn't bite inside too much more often than not. He will get stuck inside every once in a while, which we'll talk about. But overall on those trick sort of plays, seemed like he was on them almost every single time. He had a very funny play, by the way, where he was late coming onto the field. And then like, so he's like jogging late on the field and then didn't get to his spot. And because he didn't get to his spot, they ran a screen to exactly where he was like jogging to, and they threw the screen and Chase Young was there and he just makes the tackle right away. And I can only imagine the offensive coordinator on the other side being like, you have got to be kidding me. We just drew up the perfect, it would have been amazing. Like nobody else saw it. Like Chase Young was not supposed to be anywhere in the vicinity. He's supposed to be on the other end, hand in the dirt. And all of a sudden he comes walking on a little bit late and he just ends up exactly where the screen is going. And I can only imagine the offensive coordinator on the other side, the play caller on the other side being like, you've got to be just crapping me on this one. Like just the most ridiculous play ever. He's just walking on the field, all of a sudden the screen play. All right, tackle the guy, he's down. Just beautiful, beautiful play. But outside of that one, even does a very good job on all the end around screens, reverses, just very aware of what's going on out on the field. Can drop into coverage and looks the part doing so. I think he'd immediately be at least arguably the best defensive end that you would maybe want dropping into coverage. Again, they only did it 20 times, but he looks natural out there like an athlete. And not something you want to make a habit of. You want him getting after the quarterback, but you know, if there's, you know, handful of times throughout the course of the season that you want to drop that defensive end back, Chase Young is capable of doing it. And he does keep working. Again, I don't know if there's this kind of like aura of like laziness or he doesn't care. I mean, just go watch him. He doesn't give up on plays. He keeps working, keeps fighting through it, keeps rallying to the football. I didn't think that there was this like complete lack of passion or anything like that from Chase Young. So we'll talk about what I did want to see from him here in just a moment, but I did see him continue to work through plays and keep trying to get after the quarterback for as long as it took. And he did rally to the football as well. So I didn't have a major issue with that. And in fact, I thought it was totally fine, if not good. All right, negatives. As I mentioned, they basically do not play him on rundowns. Like, that's the reason he doesn't start. It's the reason that you're primarily seeing him just on passing downs. They want him as a specialized pass rusher. And of course, every once in a while, you're going to get caught in some run plays or you just need him to go out there on a first down, whatever it might be. So he saw like a couple hundred run plays, but you know, on a 700 snap season, he's in the couple hundreds in run defense. And then the rest are all pass rush snaps for the most part, other than 20 in coverage, but they don't put him on the field much on rundowns. And there's a reason for that. He has really declined when it comes to a run defender, just isn't what he was earlier in his career. Finishing and closing burst. There's something just off about his closing burst and his finishing on plays where I can see it at times. There's a play against Bryce Young where he gets around and then Bryce Young starts taking off and Young just explodes to him and gets Bryce Young to the ground. And it's like, holy crap. Like, where has that been? Looks phenomenal. Kirk Cousins, he had a great burst to the quarterback, big sack, force fumble. But on other plays, it just seems like he's lacking that finishing touch, that burst to get to the quarterback and finally bring him to the ground. And I can't really explain it. It's a weird phenomenon. He's got all the athleticism that he needs. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's trying to make sure that like they can't cut back on him or something. I don't know exactly what it is. But man, if he could start taking those 60-some plus pressures and turning them into, you know, 12, 15, 16 sacks, that's a game changer. So I do think that is something that's a bit of an issue. I would like to see him close. I would like to see him get that closing burst or that finishing ability. And if he could, it would really make him a exponentially better player because you're actually going to finish off some of those plays with sacks and forced fumbles rather than the quarterback maybe just throwing away the ball or even maybe worse, getting a play down the field. So the finishing, the closing needs to be better. This past year, he played right side only. Like he did not play a snap on the left side. Now, in his career prior, he has played left side. So I don't know if that was he was playing right because they, you know, the other edge defender wanted to play left every time. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but he did only play right defensive end this past year. I does get sucked inside on run plays from time to time, and I just kept wanting a little bit more impact. You watch him play, and man, is he so freaking talented. And I mean so freaking talented. And you watch him, and you're just like, how anyone ever guards him or, you know, picks him up in pass block sets or whatever. It's unfathomable almost. Like, offensive linemen are going to win their share of those battles too, of course, but he's just so freaking talented. And it always kind of just leaves you wanting a little bit more because you see it. You're like, he looks like the guy. He looks like one of the best premier pass rushers in all the NFL, but it never quite gets there. So it always leaves you wanting just a little bit more. It's not bad. He's a good player. Again, 70 pressures a year over the last two seasons, right? So he's getting the job done, but it just still feels like there's meat on that bone. And if he just finished a little bit better, just closed a little bit better, just had that little bit more of an it factor that you could be talking about one of the all-time greats rather than like a good but not great pass rusher that doesn't really seem to care much in run defense. I shouldn't say doesn't care, but isn't just, you know, stellar at it, which he should be able to be stellar at it. So he always just kind of leaves you wanting a little bit more. And then we talked about the missed tackles. The crazy thing here is the first 2 years in his career, 2.5% missed tackle rate, 4.2% missed tackle rate, both really good. The last 3 years, 25% missed tackle rate, 25.9, and this year, 20.7. So way too many missed tackles. And then the other ones too, as we talked about on the decline, run defense grades, 82.8, 84.5, then 73.9, 63.5, 54.6. So a consistent decline. Overall grades, 87.1, 75.1, 78.4, 74.7, 66.4. Kind of a consistent decline, right? So what you are ultimately doing here with Chase Young is you are paying for pressure. That's his moneymaker. Not going to be a great run defender. You're not going to get a ton of other stuff out of him, but you're going to get a lot of pressures. So you have to decide as a GM, is that what you want to pay for? You're not getting a super well-rounded defensive end. He was better at it early in his career. Maybe you can re-unlock that. But for now, you're paying for the pressures. If that's worth it to you, then he's a worthwhile investment. If you want something a little bit more, somebody who's going to play a little bit more on rundowns, maybe play, you know, 800, 1,000 snaps if you're going to pay him that much money, then Chase Young is probably not your specific cup of tea. So should Green Bay ultimately sign him? It's kind of like Milton Williams, but the defensive end version. Milton Williams, unbelievable pass rusher on the interior, but doesn't hold up against the run at all. Sort of the same thing here with with Chase Young, where fantastic pass rusher, really, really good, getting 70 pressures a year over the last two seasons, but the run defense is just pretty non-existent, and they don't even put him on the field for those plays. Definitely not a terrible player to sign. You could really weaponize him, I think, as a pass rusher, kind of like we've seen these past couple seasons. I still think there's more potential there, and he's still in the prime of his career. Like, if he took one more jump in the right system, the right time, it wouldn't completely stun me. I know there's been decline, but I expect him to still be able to get better. And maybe it's just the right system. Maybe he needs the right coach. I don't know what it is, but there is a massively talented player there. I want a little bit more from him. When I'm watching him, there's nothing that I really completely dislike. I'm just always wanting more. So I don't love him. There's nothing I don't like about him. I think he's a good free agent signing. I think there are better options out there. I wouldn't give him more than a two-year deal. I think there is a little bit of a buyer beware here. You're the number two overall pick in the draft, and Washington trades you by year three. San Francisco doesn't bring you back. He's going to have his fourth team in 3 years. So you have to be a little bit of like, all right, what happened there? Why are teams willing to just get rid of this guy and not re-sign him? Well, we know the Saints is probably due to salary cap space, but Washington was willing to trade him. San Francisco, after trading for him, was not, you know, able to get him re-signed. Is there something wrong here? Is there somewhere thing where teams are like, you know what? He's good as like a one-year mercenary or something, but we don't want him anything past that. Again, I don't think you want a more than a two-year deal at this point. Mostly a okay but not great season for New Orleans this past year. He'll, again, be going to his fourth team in three seasons. You are getting him in his prime, and pressures are king, and he's a really great pressure player. So I think there's something to add here. I think it's possible that Green Bay is interested. I think there are better options out there, but it would not stun me if Chase Young became a Green Bay Packer. What do you think? Do you want him? Do you not want him? Is it dependent upon contract? Do you think Green Bay will potentially get him? I think there's a world in which he could. I don't expect it to happen, but we do see Green Bay go after players like this from time to time, and maybe he is a tier below Josh Sweat and Khalil Mack, and then trading for a big-time pass rusher. Maybe he's a tier below that. Maybe you get a little bit better price on Chase Young. I don't hate it. Again, I don't expect it. There's some things to like, and hopefully he takes off and plays in a significant way, because he is, again, a massively, massively talented player. I'm going to say I'm intrigued. I wouldn't hate it, wouldn't love it. I don't think Green Bay does it. That's my final verdict on this. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Swanger, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, and Razul Douglas time. I will see you guys right back here tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.